Today I want to start just a short series on gratitude, and quite honestly, today's message might be the most theologically simplest message I've ever preached. That doesn't mean that it's not something that's worth noting and not something that we want to pay attention to. In fact, I'd even encourage you to take a pen out of the chair back in front of you and jot some notes down. We're going to be in two main passages of Scripture, but I'll reference a couple of others and trust that God will use His Word this morning as we spend time in it. You know, as little kids, we learn to say thank you, right? Maybe someone gives us a gift, and parents have to remind the kids, now what do you say? Right? We have to be taught that. Or especially when, you know, family gatherings are happening or somebody does something nice. Now what do you say? And we're taught to say thank you at a really young age, typically. And we're taught that that's in response to something. And we correctly teach that expressing thanks and gratitude is an appropriate response. But I often wonder what our baseline should be. And are we only grateful for specific things or on a specific occasions? Is gratitude reserved for just those types of things? The dictionary would tell us that the definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's a quality of being thankful, and it goes on to say it's a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. That's gratitude. It's interesting, as I was looking that up this week, that the use of the word has fell significantly from the early 1800s and an all-time low through the 80s and 90s. The 1980s and 90s, not the 1880s and 90s, all right? I just realized we're over two centuries there. So, you know, early in the 1800s, very high use of the word, and then through the 1980s and 90s, all-time low. And you think back to the 80s and 90s, and you might not be too surprised when you hear that. The good news is that it's on a rise, a steady rise since then, and I believe that gratitude is something that should be on the rise all the time, actually. So that's what we want to talk about this morning, and if you're willing to spend some time in God's Word, are you willing to do that, hopefully? So turn to Psalm 118, 118. Last week, I invited many of you who were here this morning, or here last week in this service, to think about attending the second service, and someone came up to me, saw some empty seats, and said, hey, I think people took you up on your offer. So we'll see what it's like second service, but I'm glad that you are here, glad that you're excited to spend some time in God's Word. This psalm, throughout the entirety of the psalm, we see occasion for thanks and gratitude, and I just want to point some of those out to you. First of all, in verse 1 of Psalm 118, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. That was not an uncommon thing to hear through the book of Psalms, and we see it here again in Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We've studied in the past, and we may in the near future look at Psalm 136. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever is very common in that psalm as well. And we see a reason for gratitude here at the very beginning. Give thanks to the Lord, right? That's gratitude, giving thanks, as the dictionary put it, a readiness to show appreciation for it. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. God is good. It's not for something that He's done. It's for something that He is. And there's a difference there, right? There's a difference between just being grateful for something that's happened or something that is. And Scripture is reminding us that we can give thanks to God. We can have an attitude that reflects thankfulness, that reflects gratitude because of who God is. He is a good God. If we drop down to verse 19, we see this. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I have a desire to give thanks to God, the psalmist is reflecting. I desire to do that. It's It's what is in me that desires to come out. And then verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've got songs that reflect those words. This is, in fact, reflect is a good word to use because sometimes that's sung in a responsive or an echo way. This is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. Some of you have probably sung that if you're of a certain vintage. If you're younger, then you're like, what is he talking about? All right. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Contextually, what he's referring to is a day of salvation. If we go back verses 22 and 23, it says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This thing that's happened, referencing salvation, referencing the stone that the builders rejected. Now, this is Old Testament written, but we understand the fulfillment of prophecy we see in the New Testament is Jesus is that stone that the builders rejected that has become the cornerstone. And the psalmist is reflecting that reality. And he says in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made, the day of salvation. This is something that God has done, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we don't always think about that context every time we use those phrases. Oftentimes, we simply get up in the morning and we say, this is the day the Lord's made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. As a reminder to us that this new day that we have is a gift from God. And that in and of itself is a reason for gratitude. That is a reason to give thanks because God has given us this day. Whatever this day holds is a gift from God. Verses 28 and 29, as the psalmist finishes this particular psalm, he says, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And then he repeats, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You see, there's a reality here that's reflected in Psalm 118, that gratitude and thankfulness comes from the very fact that God is God. And as reflected in verses 28 and 29, my God. There's a connection there. It's not a detached, obscure fact, well, God's God, but he is my God. That's a reason for me to be grateful and to thank you. Verse 28, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. The reason for gratitude here is because God is who he is, and I know him. And as I was thinking about this over the last several weeks, actually, thinking about message and service planning through the end of the year and into 2025, I kind of landed on this question that I want to ask you, that ask us, and that is, do we have a baseline of gratitude for the basics that we experience day in and day out? You think about some of the scriptures that we've looked at over the years, things that are probably somewhat familiar to many of us. We think about the 23rd Psalm, which is a beautiful picture of how God provides daily, right? He leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He provides for me. We think about the Lord's Prayer. In the discussion in the Lord's Prayer, we says, thank you for this daily bread. We look at the provision of God in the Old Testament for the Israelites of manna, day in and day out, of leading them day by day, in fact, moment by moment. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, says that his mercies or his compassion or his love are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, the author goes on to say. What's your baseline when it comes to gratitude? How do you wake up each day? I can tell you that when I went through the health crises that I did over the last couple of years, some of those challenges And some of you have been through similar things, so you understand this. You become thankful for the simplest of things. I mean the simplest of things. It's interesting nowadays, whether I'm here at church, which happens almost it happens regularly, almost every time. For instance, at the work day yesterday, if I'm out somewhere, someone in the community, and we interact, if I'm going to play basketball in the morning, you know, it's quite often that someone says, "Well, so how are you doing? How are you feeling? What's going on?" And I've given you this update before. At this point, no news is good news. Everything's good. But a lot of times, my response will be, "I'm doing great. I have nothing to complain about." And I say that as much for their benefit as I do for mine, because I have to remind myself, what do I have to complain about? I have nothing to complain about. And one of the things that I think was fostered in me personally as I went through that season of health challenge was a deeper, more foundational baseline of gratitude. And you know, our expectations greatly affect our gratitude. One of the words, as I think maybe, and I didn't do a deep study on this, but as the word gratitude went on a decline in our culture, I think a different word was on the rise. That was a word called entitlement. You see, our expectations greatly affect our gratitude or our sense of entitlement. Because if we just expect and expect and expect, then all that's happening is our expectations are being met, but we maybe don't have as much gratitude for those things because, well, I deserve those or I expect those are what I'm supposed to have. You know, we don't see that necessarily in Scripture. In fact, what we see in Scripture is a warning at various times not to compare to other people or to other things, but to be grateful for what God does provide for us, to have a baseline of gratitude. And my challenge this morning, and I think the challenge of God's word is we're even going into a season where we talk about gratitude and thanksgiving, and you know, for a lot of families, there'll be, whether it's a birthday or it's the Christmas time or other occasions, we exchange gifts, and we're going to remind those young people as we're trying to teach them how to be good family members and friends. We're going to, what do you say? You know, we're going to teach gratitude. But I really want to encourage us that we have a baseline of gratitude in our lives. In fact, let me put it to you this way. I would really challenge us that gratitude is not a transactional quality in our lives. In other words, well, Nathan, you gave me this, so I'm grateful for that. Or, you know, Joe, you did something nice for me, so I'm grateful for that. Or, Arna, you really helped me out in that situation, so I'm grateful for that. That's transactional gratitude, right? We understand, you know what I'm saying? You get it? Just nod if you get what I'm saying, all right? Yeah, but not transactional gratitude, but foundational gratitude. That before anything happens in this day, I'm grateful for the day that God's given me. I'm grateful that I know God today, and that whatever he has for me, I'm looking forward to it. Not transactional gratitude, but foundational gratitude. I think that's what's reflected in Psalm 118. Give thanks to God. Why? Because he's good. And there's other parts of Scripture, don't get me wrong, and we'll talk about this in the next couple of weeks. There's other parts of Scripture where we thank God for specific things that he's done, but that's not what Psalm 118 is talking about. I have gratitude for who God is and the fact that I know him. And comparison erodes gratitude. It eats away at it because we start to compare not to what God has given us and what we have in our relationship with God, but we start to compare with other people or other situations, and we start to have the if-onlys, and the if-onlys erode gratitude. So I would caution you against comparison with other people, with other situations, with other circumstances. It's interesting, just jot down if you're taking notes, 2 Timothy 3:2. There's a list of things that in 2 Timothy he's talking about what it'll look like in the last days. Where we're headed as a culture, as a people in the last days. And it says one of the things that will be a characteristic thing of those in the last days who are far from God is that they will be ungrateful. It's interesting to me. Of all the things that are mentioned there, and there's some, you know, not very nice things mentioned there, but one of them is ungrateful. I don't think there's any question in my mind that there is any place for a lack of gratitude in the life of a believer. In fact, let me put it a different way. I think of all people on the face of the earth, followers of Jesus should be the most grateful people you ever run into. In fact, I kind of struggle when I interact with a person who claims to follow Christ and they just complain all the time. That's not to say that there aren't things that sometimes, you know, bother us and we complain about, but you know the kind of person I'm talking about, right? Because I saw you nod and I heard you go, mm-hmm. Right? Just that kind of cranky, is nothing ever good or right or fun or enjoyable in life? And how can you reflect that as a follower of Jesus? You know God. You claim to know God. You claim to have a relationship with him. And he is good. His mercy, his love endures forever. Every morning there's new things from him. How can we not be grateful as a baseline of how we go through this life? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Not that you are inclined to say, well, you know, Pastor Steve, that's Old Testament stuff. We get it. Let's look at the life of Paul. By the way, Paul had a lot of reasons to complain if we look objectively at his life. He was left for dead because people tried to kill him. He was not trusted. He was hated in a lot of ways. He was misunderstood. And Paul, though, wrote much of the New Testament and much of the perspective that a believer should have, we find in Paul's writings. And here we find in Philippians chapter 4 some insight into this whole idea and concept of gratitude. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 10, even though I think the screen says 12, right? Yeah, 12. We'll get to 12 and 13, but a little bit of context. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. You know, contentment and gratitude are like first cousins. Yeah. He says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Here we are, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Paul is saying, listen, I'm not sharing this with you because I only have experienced this, and so he says, I know what it means to have a lot, and I know what it means to have nothing. I know what it means to really be hurting and for things to be really good. I know both of those ends of the spectrum. So what I'm about to share with you is an informed perspective. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Do you think Paul is expressing here in his discussion about being content that he is reflecting that he has a baseline gratitude that exists in his life? I think he is. Because I think contentment and gratitude are first cousins. In fact, I would go far as to say that discontentment is the enemy of gratitude and thankfulness. If you are discontent, you're going to have a difficult time feeling and expressing gratitude. So what does Paul say? I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Okay, Paul, what's the secret? Tell us, Paul. You say you've got it all figured out. Paul, what is it? Verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What's he saying? The secret is I can face any situation in life. I can respond to anything that comes my way because of my relationship with Christ. That's the secret. The secret of contentment is relationship with Christ. And the secret behind gratitude, of having a foundational baseline gratitude, is that we know God and we have relationship with him. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking you to share testimony, but if I did, I'm sure we would hear stories. If I were to say to you, what was life like before you put your faith in Christ? And oftentimes we do this when we have baptisms, right? By the way, we're looking at the calendar for baptisms probably in early December, so if you'd like to get baptized, we'd love to help you take those steps of faith. But oftentimes when people share their testimony about what it was like to before they knew Christ, they express a discontentment, a frustration, something not, you know, a lack of. In fact, when I share my testimony, you've heard me share this, you know, before coming to Christ, I was an angry middle schooler. I was not content. I did not have gratitude in my heart. I mean, there were things once in a while I was thankful for, I was happy for. But was there a baseline of gratitude in me? No. No. I imagine many in this room could express a very similar experience. But then I placed my faith in Christ. I got to know this God who is good, whose love endures forever, whose mercies and compassions are new every morning. And they're developed in me, and I hope is developing or has developed in you, a baseline foundation of gratitude. Oh, sure, there's things specifically that we're thankful for. There's things specifically that we are so grateful occurred or happened or came our way. But before any of those things, do you have a foundational gratitude for the who? For the who? There's times that our family goes on vacation. Now that our kids are up and out, we don't go on vacation. We gather for vacation. Some of you know what that's like. And one of the things that is always good in my eyes is when we get up, it's a new day, and we kind of express, whether it's around the breakfast table or we've talked about it the night before or whatever, like, it's a new day. What can we do today? And there's a gratitude of the relationship. And the most significant part is not the thing that we do, it's the fact that we're together. Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the thing that we're doing is secondary to the fact that we're just together. There's such a great feeling of relationship that happens. I think that's what the psalmist is reflecting. I think that's what Paul is telling us about. That if we really want to foster a baseline, foundational gratitude in our lives, it begins with our relationship with Christ. In fact, I would say this. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God through Christ, you've never put your faith in him, my guess is, and it's a pretty educated guess, that there's a fair amount of discontent in your life. There's a fair amount of things aren't what I think they should be. What's missing? What am I missing out on? And the psalmist and Paul reflects that I've learned to be content in any and every situation, whether things are going great or things are going terribly. So that's circumstantial gratitude, right? But foundational gratitude is, doesn't matter what's going on, I am grateful for my relationship with Christ. I just want to encourage us this morning. If there's air in your lungs, if there's blood in your veins, if you have a relationship with God, you have every reason to be a person of gratitude. And for that to be reflected and expressed before any specific situational or transactional thing happens, before God does this thing for you, at the very start of things, he's your God, and he's good, and his love endures forever, and his mercies, his compassions are new every morning. So let me encourage you today, tomorrow when you wake up, Thursday when part of the week's happened and we don't know what that's going to mean, that your heart reflects a baseline, a foundation of gratitude. I want to give you an opportunity, give all of us an opportunity just to reflect on that in prayer this morning. So we're going to give some time this morning for you to pray, to reflect back to God, to think about this idea of praising God just because he's God and he's good. And then the worship team's going to come up and help us do that through song as we wrap up our time this morning. But right where you're at, would you just take some time to express your gratitude to a God who loves you and whose mercies have been new for you even today in this place?